This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Talk about Barbara.
Barbara, what's your last name?
Oh, dude, I forgot.
I forgot too. She got a last name though. You went to see? Did you do all the movies you were meant to do yesterday?
No. The plan fell apart. For the audience that doesn't know, every year on my roommate's birthday, we usually do a double feature. But he was like talking about a quadruple feature, and he wanted to see Barbie. He wanted to see Asteroid City. He wanted to see Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones. And he wanted to, because we have Cats Don't Dance. So he wanted to start the morning with Cats Don't Dance.
So he wanted to do five movies.
Five movies in a day. Right. And I just kind of wanted to do it.
How do you do that while going to theaters? Like that's
where the issue ran. The issue came because not only was it like relentlessly difficult to like match up times, but like some theaters weren't playing Asteroid City, some weren't playing Mission Impossible. Like it was right. it was stuff like that. So what we ended up doing was we still watched Cats Don't Dance in the morning.
Nice.
And then after that we chased, which is a great cast. Barbie is a great chaser for Cats Don't Dance. That's really? The double feature. Well, honestly, the correct double feature might be Barbie and Mission Impossible, because that's what we did. And to be honest, that was Mission Impossible after Barbie was like, it was like you get the best of both worlds. We tried to brainwash him into wanting to see Oppenheimer. Every time we asked him, he kept saying that he didn't know what it was about. But then we would tell him what it was about. And then he would still say, like, I don't know what it's about.
I don't know what that is, man. I really want to see Oppenheimer. Man, Barbie, I liked it. Thought it was a good movie. Enjoyed mm-hmm. it. I deeply respect how fucking weird it is. It's a really weird movie. Yeah.
I was telling Steve, my friend Steve, I was telling him that, like, I think it's cool that, like, because you don't get stuff like that anymore. I think it's cool that, like, kids get to grow up again with, like, a movie of, like, adults that they see in other movies being relentlessly silly. Like, I feel like they don't make shit like that anymore. I feel like we got a lot of that as kids. And I think not only do I think it's cool that kids in general get to have that, but I think it's cool that, like, little girls get to have it, especially, like, now with everything coming out, I don't get a lot of like little girl focused things that even right. that do as well as Barbie's doing, because it's going ridiculous.
Dude, so, I said it would. Remember? Do you remember we were talking about box office stuff and one of these? And I think it was on our Patreon episodes when we were talking about how well Spider-Verse was doing. And I was like, looking through the end of the year, I don't think there's any movies other than maybe Barbie that could like really threaten.
Yeah,
to the top three or whatever exactly, of the year, and it's far exceeding even my expectations. I knew it would do well, but like
Barbie's it's going ridiculous.
It's in 4 days internationally and domestically, like worldwide. It's at $380 million on Monday. It made $26 million on a Monday. On a Monday, me and my friends went yesterday on a Tuesday. We were looking at tickets on Monday and Tuesday. And we were at a group of like six or seven, and we were like, we just could not find any theater that had that many seats. We ended up in the third row at the theater we went to yesterday.
We went in third row too.
That's so sick.
So sick.
Crazy.
Because the same shit was out. It was only four of us, but like, it was just the. That's why the plan kind of like fell apart too, because like certain theaters. Right. Barbie was fucked.
You couldn't get
like,
it.
We couldn't. Dude, yeah, like it just was over.
I went to the AMC Burbank, AMC 16 Burbank, which is my normal theater, and it's like a big theater in LA. A lot of stuff happens there. It's like
is that where we saw Bob?
That is where we saw Bob's. There's a Dolby and an IMAX, and it's a big theater, so it's like just a very, and it's, you know, it's Burbank. There's a lot of people in Burbank. It's a very popular theater in LA, and I do not remember the last time I saw it this crowded, and it was a Tuesday night. It was full of pink people, like just everyone wearing pink. It's a goddamn phenomenon. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to see, but I genuinely think this movie will hit a bill. And like, I don't know, man, if it keeps this up, like there's not, for the foreseeable future, there's not much to threaten it. Like what's even coming out? Movie releases, July 2023. I don't think there's anything coming up that's going to like really threaten it. Like, I think Ninja Turtles will probably do well, but I don't think it will beat Barbie. Let's see. I don't see anything on here that I think. Haunted Mansion, I don't think that thing's going to do very well.
I think it'll do all right.
Dude, they're just dumb.
They got that cast.
In July. Release it in fucking October. What are they doing?
I do want to say, this is like, I didn't even think about it till we were doing all this shit yesterday, but this is like the nastiest month I've seen in a long ass time. You got Barbie, you got Oppenheimer, you got Indiana Jones, you got Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
You got Spider-Man.
But it's also there. Some of them are proving to have made mistakes by putting them out in such a busy, like, look, the next few weeks are pretty free. Earlier in the month, we had like, there was the week that Mission Impossible should have dropped was like 4th of July weekend. Mission Impossible had a solid first weekend and is like fallen off entirely because Barbie and Oppenheimer just cut it off. Yeah. I don't know. I don't see anything coming out that I think is like going to do crazy well. I guess I don't know about that. Like, there's Gran Turismo's coming out.
Do you want to see Gran Turismo, man? I don't think I do,
but it is interesting. It's interesting to make the movie about playing the game, not just like an adaptation of the game. And I guess it's based on a real story. I don't know. It's also Neil Blomkamp, which is weird. Like,
it is because there's like those likes
for him to do.
There's like those little, you know how like they'll do like the little featurette things as part of the trailer. Like there was like one of those where it's based on a real guy, at least, because like they said he's doing his own stunt driving in the movie.
Right.
Like they brought the guy in that the movie's based on to do the stunt driving, and then like the actor,
that's pretty cool,
is just, you know.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to interest me too much from the trailer. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I don't see anything on here that I think is going to do super well.
How do you think Blue Beetle's going to do?
It's tracking really bad. Like,
is it really, dude?
It's tracking really low. It's tracking to like, yeah, it's, I think maybe it'll win its weekend, but like, it's not going to make a bunch of money. I don't know, man. Yeah, it's all rough. They're re-releasing Old Boy. That probably won't do crazy well, but I'll probably go see it. You ever seen Old Boy?
I have not seen Old Boy, but that's pretty funny.
I guess it's an anniversary release, I think. I don't know, man. I don't think there's anything crazy for a few months, and I think Barbie is just gonna like continue to make so much money. I think it's gonna make $1 billion, man. And like, I don't know, at this point I'm like, could it threaten Mario? Could it make 1.3 bill?
That was the point about Mario, right? Was that it was like this global brand, and that's why it like it dominated and it took over. And the same thing you could say about Barbie. You could say the same.
Yes,
shit.
It's true. It's a global brand. That's right. I mean, Mario made $770 million overseas, which is nuts. I don't know if who knows? But Barbie is like literally in 4 days, it is the 9th highest grossing film of the year. And it's going to pass within this week, probably it's probably going to jump up to 5 behind Spider-Man within a week, another week. Like next weekend, mm-hmm. it's going to just do gangbusters again. It's crazy. It's crazy. Phenomenon, sensation, and a pretty good movie. Fun.
Yeah. I wish I had a better crowd, man. I had a shit crowd.
Oh, our crowd was so into it.
I love, see, because, man, like, there were so many parts of that movie where I was like, this should have got the biggest laugh I ever heard in my life. And, like, it just felt like everybody was scared to laugh. Like, it was, like, me and my roommates, we were, like, laughing. And then, like, there was, like, a girl behind us that I was laughing a lot too. But other than that, you just heard a And I was like, come on, y'all.
our theater was going nuts. I went with Whitney and some other friends. And yeah, our theater was just like, they were cracking up the whole time.
The shit was funny. And that was one thing, dude, I knew. Like, I know this is going to be funny. And there were
definitely some jokes that I felt fell flat that the audience really liked. But mm-hmm. but most of it, I was into most of the humor. It was funny.
I agree. I agree.
I liked it. I think Ryan Gosling is like fucking believable.
He's so funny. He's so funny. He's so
committed to that character. He is like fully. He does such a great job.
It's unbelievable. Like Margot Robbie, dude, like the way she, like, she's not even, how am I trying to explain it? You've seen Life Size before with Tyra Banks?
Yeah, it's been years and years, but I've seen it. Yeah.
It's so easy for, like, it would have been so easy for, like, Margot Robbie's performance to be, like, real reminiscent of, like, how Tyra Banks is in Life Size. Sure. But there's just, like, so much, like emotion and, like, wholesomeness to, like, so many of, like so many, like, reads and stuff that she does in the movie. It's really great.
Yeah, she was really good.
And Michael Cera, dude, come on, dude, man. He's great. He was killing me.
He really nailed it. Yeah, some really good performances. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the whole lore and all the lore and the world building was really convoluted, but in a way that I liked. You know what I mean? the whole idea of there being this Barbie land, and it also people play with the Barbies, and like there's a lot of like logic leaps there, but I just think that they leaned into it in such a fun way that it works, you know?
Yeah, because you think that, like, when she, I don't want to fucking spoil the movie, but like there is a part where she is explaining who she is to someone, and I'm like, oh, is this gonna be like 40 minutes of the other character not believing? But it just happens like that, and then they just kind of accept it, and then like it just keeps. I was like, oh, okay, this is the kind of movie this is. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, and I could get behind shit like that.
Pretty funny Will Ferrell performance too. I think that's one of the things that like kind of makes it work, is that the real world also exists in a weirdly heightened, non-realistic state. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like there's enough contrast.
Yeah.
There's enough contrast to make it like, okay, this is the real world. But at the same time, it doesn't like, it's not like a tonal shock shift of the movie type.
And it's not like exactly representing the real world. Obviously it's representing the real world, but it's not like that is not fully like our world, like the way
like it's not like like the Smurfs or something like that, where it's like they just kind of took those characters and like put them in New York
into the actual
it's not like that.
All right, how was your first Mission Impossible experience? You watched the 7th Mission Impossible. Was your first Mission Impossible?
That shit was gas. I didn't know it was gonna be like, okay, all right, when because my roommate, he wanted to see Mission Impossible bad. We was like, bro, like, everybody is seeing Oppenheimer, bro. Let's just go do that. And he was like, nah, I definitely want to see Mission Impossible. Like, and I was like, all right, you know, I'll see it. Like, I wasn't going to, like, you know what I mean? Because I'll practically watch anything. So I was like, all right, cool. But I went in to that movie theater thinking that I was going to think Barbie was amazing, and that I was gonna think Mission Impossible was all right.
Yeah.
Other way around. That shit was hard.
Dude. Oh, man. That shit is gangster, bro.
You definitely got to watch the other ones. I've actually only seen 1 through 4. I still haven't seen 5 or 6, which means I haven't seen the ones that the current director does. This guy, Chris McQuarrie, who like Tom Cruise just fucking loves, he brought him in to help rewrite the fourth one, which the fourth one is directed by Brad Bird, by the way.
I knew that.
And the fourth one is awesome. He's Brad Bird's a great action director. I guess you would know from Incredibles, but like live action, he does such a great job with that one. Then he brings in Chris McQuarrie to direct, and he's directed 5, 6, 7, and they're doing 8 right now as well.
That was my other thing, dude. This shit is called Part One. Like, I didn't know that till like last week. I was like, wait, there's another one? Part One. Yeah, man.
I still have to see 7. I want to do like a little marathon, but you should definitely watch those movies, and especially because they've changed so much over time. Because the first two are like in the 90s, and then like Mission Impossible 3 is like an early J.J. Abrams movie. He's like such a franchise jumper. But 3 is good, and it also has like 3 has like a crazy good Philip Seymour Hoffman performance as the villain. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. It's funny that these movies started in 96 and they're still going. They all kind of have crazy directors. Brian De Palma did the first one. John Woo did the second. J.J. Abrams did the third. Brad Bird did the fourth. And Christopher McQuarrie's done everyone since. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
Yeah, that shit was...
You're going to like these movies because they're just like Tom Cruise does all his stunts. So they just do the craziest stunts in the world. In Rogue Nation, he like, or maybe in Fallout, he like hangs off of the side of a plane. He's like he's like hooked into it, but literally they over and over again, a real plane took off and he was hanging off the side of it.
Fam, yeah.
Dude is insane.
Those movies, that movie I just saw was so, I was like, that, and we had a great crowd too, which helped. I was like laughing the whole time. Like, there was so much shit. It's kind of like a, it's like a Fast and the Furious that you don't feel bad for watching. Like, the shit was like, it was so good.
Like, it is funny to me that, like, not to hate on the Fast and the Furious, but it is funny to me that like that has the sort of cult following that I feel like Mission Impossible deserves. Like, I know that fast movies get sillier, but like, man, the action in the Mission Impossible movies is just so well done every time. Like the stunts and action, and there's great stuff in the fast movies.
I'm a fan of the fast. I haven't seen 10, which is like unusual for me because I would have saw it in the theater.
I haven't seen the last like 5. I've watched the first 5, I think. Yeah, I know, I'm way behind.
I saw, I think from 6 to 9, I saw all of those in the theater.
Nice.
When I saw 9 in the theater, I think that's when I got COVID, because a couple of days later, I was sick.
Oh, no.
So maybe that's why I didn't go see 10. I didn't want to, you know. But you know, I fuck with the fast movies, man. Like in 9, they go to space. They went to space, bro. Like, they were actually in space. It's so ridiculous. Tyrese is so funny in those movies because he is relentlessly just the one guy that's like, well, 9 has this like this meta moment that he's talking to Ludacris and this other girl that they add. I think her name's Ramsey. They add her in like 7, I think. And he's talking to both of them. He's like, fam, do you understand the amount of like explosions, peril, danger that we've been through and we come out
no scratches. We're somehow all still alive. None of this shit makes any sense. He's like breaking the fourth wall. He's doing everything but saying that the script is bad. Like he's doing all of that. And it's, and like Ludacris and the girl is just kind of laughing him off, like, ah, fuck out of here. It doesn't matter. But then like, I think when they get to space, Ludacris is like, okay, I think you're right. This is,
this is all right. This is nuts.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's start talking about the show. Let's cue the theme. Good movie chat. Go see movies. Hey, just in general, go see movies in the movie theater. That's my pitch to you. Movies are great, and the movie theaters are the place to watch them. So go watch them in the movie theaters,
especially while they're new, so you can catch a good crowd, which is really important.
It's key.
A
really good movie. It's vital. Okay, cool. Cue theme song.
I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a family kind of sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs a mug. The show and spies is the same guy, except he totally say f- and diverse.
Let's watch cartoons that
yeah, that's bananas.
As rough.
What the fuck is up, everybody? Welcome to Cartoons That Curse. My name is Johnny. I am your co-host. I'm here with your other co-host, Tariq. Tariq, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Tariq's all right. Now, normally this is the podcast. Previously, this is the podcast where we cover all your favorite adult animated series, one season at a time. And now, as of right now, we're not doing that anymore. It's too much work. We're really sorry.
Yeah.
For the next 10 weeks, we'll be covering the new season of Futurama, one episode at a time. It's a lot easier for us. And you know what? You're probably going to get more podcast out of it overall. Well, I don't know, but like, yeah, in general, you're going to get more podcasts out of it because we're not going to be taking long breaks anymore. And we're still probably going to end up talking for an hour about a single episode anyways. So, enjoy it. Enjoy it while it's this.
I promise you guys, we won't ruin your commute. I promise. Because that's what this is used for a lot of the time. And I definitely get it. I understood it, but it wasn't until I had like a long train ride and I was like, I don't got anything to listen to. And I just started playing these and I was like, oh, I get it.
Dude, that's why I love podcasts. Living in LA and previously having to drive far for work, it was the only way I could deal with traffic, like mentally, is I was like, I need to start listening to podcasts because I go insane driving hours a day. And it helps a lot. I love listening to podcasts. It's one of my favorite ways to pass the car time. In fact, I don't listen to music in the car. It's too repetitive. Yeah. I just listen to pods. It's great.
I feel that.
So we're going to cover the new season of Futurama, which just started airing on Hulu. It's going to be airing weekly. And we're going to cover it one episode at a time. And then after that, we've already said this, but we've got a format change coming up. We're really excited about it. We probably will do we'll do Futurama next year, and we'll look into we'll figure out if there's other shows we want to cover fewer episodes at a time still. But we're going to change up the format, and we're all really excited about it, and we think you guys are going to like it. So get excited for that. But today we're talking about the return. The return of Futurama, which is crazy because when we started this podcast, we started with Futurama with basically the show is over and we were just kind of talking about a complete product when we started talking about the show. Like we're like, oh, this is talking about this show as though it is set in stone. And then last year, 9 days after I ranked every Futurama episode worst to best, they announced
that Futurama really how long will be returning.
It was 9 days, dude.
Oh my god!
I released that video. It was the longest video I had ever done, and I was like, "This will be the end of me talking about Futurama the channel, the perfect way to go out." 9 days later, new Futurama announced. Freaking nuts.
Damn.
They announce it's coming back. The drama was that John DiMaggio hadn't signed on at the time. And that was because they had thrown offers out to everyone, the same offers for all of the voice actors. And DiMaggio felt they were all worth more money. He held out. I don't think he got paid, but he did decide to do the show, which I'm glad to see. I think they were like, well, everyone signed their contract and we don't want to give you more than everyone else. And he was like, well, I think we all deserved more. And they're like, well, they signed their contracts already. So, so we'll see. I'm glad he's back though. It would have been fucking weird if they tried to do it without him. I don't think it was ever really a possibility. And now, about a year and a half after that announcement, we got a new fucking Futurama episode.
Here we go. Can't believe it.
It's bizarre, man. It's really weird. It's gonna especially weird with new Futurama coming out in like this era in which my job is to talk about this stuff. Because it's just Futurama has been such a huge part of my life, and like we talked about in the last episode, the journey of it getting canceled and coming back, and the like anticipation of will it get saved. Will the movies be good? Will the Comedy Central era be good? What's the finale going to be like? All of that stuff is such a big part of the journey. And I just thought the journey was over, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that journey was done. And here we are. We're back again. We're back, baby, as Bender oft says. Oft.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So this first episode is called The Impossible Stream. Also, full disclosure, I have seen the first six episodes of the season. I'm just going to say that now. I'm not going to spoil any specific things about episodes after this. I might allude to like tendencies or things they like may or may not do. Mm-hmm. Not anything specific, though. I'm not if there's things about this episode that were like, oh, I like this, I don't like this, then I might be like, well, in the next five, like may see more of that, may not see more of that. You know what I mean? Nothing specific, though. Nothing crazy specific. But I don't want to pretend I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I get you. And you guys still get the fresh take because I haven't seen them. So
like, yeah,
these are all, I'm new.
I've seen them. I saw them a couple weeks ago. I've been so nervous. I've been so nervous about Futurama coming back. Mm-hmm. Watching this one for the first time, there's some weird things about watching new Futurama in 2023, especially with it being streaming now. Like, the show now opens with the Hulu Presents, a Hulu original 20th Heaven production.
We watched the episode together at midnight, and then like when the Hulu original popped up, I said, whoa. It blew my mind.
It's in the Futurama
mind.
Font.
Yeah.
What I like about it, though, is I like the... I like the like the little music stings, like the like mysterious music stings underneath. It like, especially after all the years of anticipation, it drew me, and I was like, oh
yeah. So the same emotion I get at the top of Across the Spider-Verse, that score they got while all the production logos are showing, I was like, oh shit, like it's like the same thing here
for sure. I think the most important thing for me is that they do just immediately follow
address.
Up the meanwhile, the end of meanwhile. They do change things a little bit. They vaguely retcon what they said was going to happen at the end of meanwhile, which is mostly just to address the time jump. And because at the end of meanwhile, Farnsworth basically says, we're going to take it back to before I conceived of the time button, so that we don't go through any of this stuff. And then in this, they kind of just go back to, they kind of just go back to the moment it was Frozen,
right.
At least for the collective characters. But the time displacement freeze messes with the flow of time, and then they're in 3023, explains the time jump. It's like, it's kind of the perfect thing to be able to explain a 10-year time jump, though. It's like, oh, time froze for 80 years? Right, we can fudge with the numbers. We can fudge the numbers there.
Yeah. The thing, and it's that this doesn't matter, but like the thing I was thinking about was like how they were all in the same spot when we came back, only because like, well, then again, it doesn't matter. Because we don't know if like they moved them back or anything. Because remember, they like moved them for the wedding and all that shit. Like,
they did move them for the wedding. Yeah.
So we don't even know if they moved them back. So they probably did. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's really, I remember thinking about that.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it would be weird if they like, I feel like the last time we saw them, or when I think we saw after the church, they had made that swing out of their bodies.
They were all swung together. They do do that.
That would have been really funny though if they just all woke up like in the wind.
I think it does just make sense to like do it where they were before, or like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's I mean, also like if you were gonna make Fry and Leela appear where they were when the time froze, then like Fry would be falling from the building. It's just like the details that you don't need to stress about. Like they just need to, like, they address the time displacement, they use it as a means to move the show forward 10 years. I think what they did works, and I'm just glad that they didn't ignore it, because they did leave basically the way they explained the end of Meanwhile. They could have just used that to start on a random new episode that didn't address it, because basically like we're going to go back to before the time button was created, and we could have just assumed that they had continued to live their lives after the time button was created, you know, like after that period, and that they were having adventures, and we just jump back in to see where they were at this point 10 years later. And then the other thing they get to do is like use the time displacement to like not explain why they don't age, you know what I mean, or to explain why they don't age. I laugh really hard. I laughed really hard at the joke when they're like, well, professor's like we've survived a massive displacement in the flow of time. Did we get older, younger? Science holds no answers. I like that he's just immediately just like, doesn't matter, we're all gonna look the same. Who knows. And they also already had some stuff in the show to fudge their ages, like when they got younger in Leela's Hurdles and then they went into the Fountain of Aging. Like, we don't know how old they came out. We don't know how old they came out after that.
Because Futurama was always one of those shows where, like, with the time, I always was, like, able to be like, oh, they're all adults, whatever. It's just when they added Q-Bert and Dwight, that's when I start, like... Like, well, what's going to happen? But now that they froze, it's like, okay, that doesn't matter. Like, it's, you know. Like,
right. But also, like, there's, like, all of the orphans that we see regularly from the orphanarium. Oh, my dog's getting under the covers again. they don't age. The only young character I think we've seen age is... in this last set of episodes in T the Terrestrial, it's the little Omicronian kid.
It's the only
kid who ages in Futurama. But you know, I mean, like the show has always walked the line between that, like the continuity based stuff and the episodic stuff. It would be weird if those characters got older also, you know what I mean? Like if they physically aged, it would feel weird for this kind of show.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So as I predicted, so this episode, the one thing that I feel like is the thing a lot of people are talking about, it feels like the general consensus is positive. People seem to be liking it. The one thing that I knew some people would have an issue with and anticipated was that the whole plot is very metatextual with the reboot aspect. You know, previously on Bender's Big Score, they made jokes in the cold open about it.
Right.
Great jokes. They did the same thing in Rebirth. Rebirth is an interesting one because they do the jokes in the opening where they're like, it's sort of a Comedy Central channel now or whatever.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid. But then that whole episode is also about them being reborn. Like, it's like they use a science. Sure. They use a science story. You're like, oh, the show is reborn. So all the characters are being reborn right now. And it's less on the nose about exactly what happened, but it is like still a storyline that represents that resurrection of the series onto Comedy Central. This one, basically, they use All My Circuits as a stand-in for Futurama, and they bring it back from the dead and reboot it on a streaming service. Right, you know, right. Yeah. Which, you know, I understand people being annoyed that it's so on the nose. I personally just thought it was funny. Like, I think the jokes were funny. There were some of the specific reboot jokes got a little tiresome, but the overall plot of them making All My Circuits again, I thought was funny. For me. Yeah.
I think when they start to do that, like when they start to actually put the show together, is like where like I was on board with the episode. But like, yeah, before that, there was like a lot of, I love a good meta joke. Like, I don't care, dude. Like, I'm not one of those guys that like that shit bothers. But like, there was so many times I could go like, oh yeah, that did happen to you guys. Like, before, right, I'm like, all right, like, you know what I mean? And that's what the top of the episode was like for me. But like, the first time I watched it, it was as soon as they got Calculon involved. I was like all in. But this time watching it, it was, I'll say, like, by the time when they got to like the Fulu office and they were like pitching Word. It and like I was like, okay, like now I think like this is where I'm on board with the episode. But like I think all that, like, Calculon is so funny in this episode.
Calculon is so funny.
I think he's great. He's my favorite thing about the episode. He's so funny.
Dude, he's so, so funny. My favorite joke in the episode is, first of all, I've always loved All My Circuits. Every time they show a lot of All My Circuits stuff, it's always funny. Like, I think I've always been a proponent of them making an All My Circuits full length episode. I would watch the fuck out of that. I want it so badly. My favorite joke possibly in the entire episode is when Calculon bursts through the door in All My Circuits and Monique is cheating on him with that same robot that she's always cheating on him with. She goes, Calculon, you weren't supposed to get back from the time travel convention until yesterday. it's a perfect joke. It's so funny.
I love that one. I love my favorite joke in the whole episode, I think, is when they first discover that Fry is watching the episode sped up, and they show part of it, and like Bodega's cheating on Calculon with that human.
Dude, do you know what his name is before you start? Do you know what his character's name is?
I knew at one point. What is it?
It's Human Friend.
Human Friend. I did. Yeah. Okay, I did know that. It's so funny. It's like, you're cheating on me with the same human I'm cheating on you with, and he starts like kissing him. Oh my God, it's so funny.
It's so funny. So good. That's great. I love that melodramatic, like, soap opera stuff. And with the robots, it's so funny. It's so funny. I really want to do a video about All My Circuits and just like find every, like look through all the clips and everything we know about All My Circuits and see if we could like break down what's the show actually about? yeah, exactly. Man, it's so good. Man, I really like that. So for me, I do think that's when the like story kicks in for me in a way that I really get on board with. But the thing is that even beforehand, when I was kind of whatever about what was happening with the story, with Fry watching, you know, choosing to binge TV or whatever, I was laughing really hard at all the stuff they were watching. Like I loved that scare. I loved the scary mirror opening. First of all, I love that they decided to do the scary, you know, doing the updated scary door to be a Black Mirror thing instead.
Yeah, because they didn't do that at all, right? Last time, right?
What the scary mirror?
the scary door. Did they do that last time? I don't remember seeing any of those. Yeah.
They do have some in the Comedy Central era.
But it's like early, right? Because I don't think we saw any.
I don't remember any in the last 26. You're right.
Yeah, I don't think we saw
any. But they definitely have some in. They definitely have some in the first 26 of the Comedy Central era. I just don't remember what. And I think there's some in the movies. I think like Bender's Game has one that's pretty good. I've always loved the scary doors, especially just like it's a great Maurice LaMarche voiceover. They're always so funny. And then obviously like Black Mirror is basically our modern Twilight Zone. Like people love Black Mirror. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty funny to do the scary mirror. And then like, I don't know, the voiceover of him being like a show that's very much like previous, very similar shows. I love that shit. That made me laugh. That was like one of my first big laughs of the episode was that. It's interesting to see the discourse around it because I do think people are just being dumb about it. But the HumorBot 5.0's non-binary PC joke is so clever. That is such...
what's wrong?
I think people are being too sensitive and being like, oh, they're making a non-binary joke. I'm like, do you understand what non-binary code is? Do you understand what PC computers are? I just think people yeah. really genuine. Like, I don't know. I saw somebody quote tweet that clip and say some people are really like really mad about this joke or whatever. I'm like, I haven't seen anyone mad about this joke, but if they are, they're stupid because this is a really clever joke. This is a really clever joke and it's not at anybody's expense.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the important thing about it is like it's literally about robots. Like it's not so funny.
It's not so funny. What's the deal with non-binary robots? They all boo. and then but they're all computers. Oh no, PC crowd. It's a really good joke. It's a really smart smart. It's a smart joke that's both commentary on modern comedy and like perceptions of it, and using robots. Like it's just it's like the perfect Futurama joke. It's a perfect Futurama joke. It's annoying. Right. People are dumb. Yeah. Let's move. Wait. Okay. So let's move back a little bit. Let's talk about the new title sequence. I want to talk about the new title sequence a little bit. So. First of all, Avenged.
Great.
Avenged. Great.
Avenged is great.
Perfect. Great tag. Love it a lot. How do you? It's so weird that they're using the Hulu Rama logo that spins into Futurama.
Yeah, I did think that was kind of weird. I think it was funny, but I also thought it was weird.
I think it's funny too. I thought that was just going to be for the commercials, which I think makes sense. Like, yeah, it's the new. New platform, you might as well acknowledge it. But I don't know. It's funny that this new era starts with the Hulu Rama logo that spins into the Futurama logo. But it works, and now they've got a bunch of added stuff in the intro sequence. Did you watch my video?
I did.
So did you see all those tiny little details that I noticed a few when I watched the first time, but then when I went through the second time, I was like, oh shit, there's so many more than I thought. There's way more. The Vampire State Building in the opening shot, that was the first time that appeared was the last episode. It was in Meanwhile. Right. That was not in the show at all before that.
They got Bender hanging out the series has landed. That's the one.
Yeah, it's funny. Second episode reference. Second episode. But ultimately, like all of those things are cool. I like that they added more stuff in there. You see the robot arms apartments that they live in. You see the Momco building. The Nimbus is flying above. You see Omicronian ships. There's a lot of good little details in there. But to me, like, I'm just so glad the full length title sequence is back because Comedy Central cut it short. Almost every time. I think there's probably 6 episodes in the Comedy Central run total that they don't cut it short and they have like the video clip. But man, I miss the video clip and I think the sequence is so much better with that final music cue.
I agree. Like, I remember when those episodes came out, I remember that bothering me when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like I remember actually because I when a show lasts for 4 years and you're used to the theme ending the exact same way for 4 years, it almost feels incomplete when that doesn't happen.
And, the sequence is so well like directed timed. And boarded and timed. Yeah, because it's literally they're moving through a big 3D city. It, like, the whole time, they're not cutting between things. It's literally that's them true. Going it's to a spot, wonder. Sitting, and then they, yeah, there's a cup. There's a moment at the, they cut from, there's a moment at the end where they cut from one thing to another shot.
Oh, the ship, original. Right? They cut from the ship to the, yeah, okay.
But, right. Most of it is a oneer, and they go look through the city, and it sits on stuff, and then it moves around again. It's so well done, and in the Comedy Central one, they just cut to different locations. They cut out the transitions, and it's just, it's not as good. It's such a bummer. And I think that was mostly just a cut for time and probably also not licensing video clips I don't know, but some of those it feels like we might have been public domain.
I think they used a lot of, but even I remember, I don't know, I feel like they used a lot of public domain. If they didn't, I feel like they definitely should have. But like, I know,
right,
even then, like, I feel like, like, I remember seeing clips of cartoons I had seen before. Like, there was a Felix the Cat clip in, like, one of the earlier ones. I remember seeing
and
that.
And I was doing some research because I was thinking about doing a video about all those clips, which I think I still want to do at some point. But I noticed when looking through them is that a lot of episodes actually feature clips from the same cartoons, just different clips. So,
I never knew that.
Yeah, I didn't really know it until I was looking through it either. I guess they just find really unique looking parts of him. Okay, so yeah, sorry. We move back to the intro sequence. We can get back to the Hulu of it all. It is like this whole storyline is very on the nose. Like, literally about them rebooting a show on a streaming service. I get the people that are like, okay, I'm tired of meta stuff, especially now, like in the time that Futurama has gone off the air to now, meta like episodes have become so, they've risen and fallen, I would say. Like, yeah, it became so common, and now people are just like, Jesus, get over it already.
Man, like, back in the day, man, being meta was like a superpower. Right. Like, it was like this like secret in case of emergency break glass thing you could use to like make a joke that would make the audience laugh.
Right.
But now, yeah, now just you just kind of, if you do it, even if you do it really well, you still have the chance to be like greeted with like eye rolls and shit like that now.
Right.
Just because everybody drug it.
And I get it. Like, Futurama always had meta jokes, but they don't have any episodes that were this overtly meta, where the whole episode was basically just a parallel to what happened to them. Mm. The thing is, yeah, I don't know. I just found most of it funny, and I found them making... I enjoyed them making all my circuits and getting to see a lot of Calculon, and like that stuff was fun for me. Like, that was like, those are aspects of Futurama's history I really like. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I'm on board with it. Also, I will say, just for the listeners who really fucking hated how meta this was, the next five I've seen, none of them are meta, like not a single one of them. So it's like very much it's a first episode back revival, like addressing the elephant in the room type of
right,
thing.
Right, right. Because, like I said, that the chunk where they're making all my circuits, I really like. I really like how they solve the issue by like
trying to transition the live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like was really cool. Performing in front of it, I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's really inventive. And I think that like that beat of Bender saying that he timed the writing perfectly, and he says like fade to black, and then it just like it fades, and then like
that's a good joke, great beat. Joke.
And I wanted the episode to stop there, but then they do
Do the bit at the end, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I hate that shit. I hate the speech after. But I love the.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan.
What about it?
That because it was the same thing as like before, right? Of like they were doing so many like this obviously
meta jokes. It's just all meta. It's just all meta commentary. Yeah.
And then like they like stopped this like really funny like ending beat,
yeah,
to like chase it with this like another like 1 minute worth of like meta speech, and I just kind of I was like, oh fuck. But I do think that the bit before it is great. Also, it is not a revival of Futurama if Leela doesn't think Fry is dead.
I know. It's so funny how often that happens. It's crazy. I mean, that was the Rebirth did the same thing.
The exact same thing.
It's like there's just like that's happened so many times throughout the show where they think one of the other ones has died. And
it's less weird here because the last one, it was like the robots like leave right. together.
Oh god,
and
the
shit.
The robot thing is so sweaty. Even though it's got some good moments about it, like it's so sweaty. But yeah, I didn't, you know, what's funny is I didn't even think about that while watching. It wasn't until I put out the video and I saw someone comment about it on the video. They're like, oh man, Leela thought Fry died again. And I was like, oh yeah, we've been talking about that. That's yeah, always happens.
I didn't catch it till this morning when I watched it for the second time this morning. I was like, shit, he's dead again.
It's so funny. I kind of appreciated it was so quick, but I appreciated that literally, like, obviously, you know, he's not dead. No one thinks he's dead. And so, like, the moment that thing, like, explodes, that I love the idea that he just walks right back in.
He just walks out.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
They don't even waste your time trying to make you believe it or trying to make it sweet. And I do think if they would have tried to make it sweet, I probably would have rolled my eyes a little bit. Cause it's like, come on, this wacky ass story. And you're going to try to like end it with like her thinking that he died. Yeah. So I think they made the right decision on how the whole thing goes.
I agree. That stuff all worked for me. And I also like that it was just, you know, at the core of it, it was Leela. The core of this episode, even though it's a silly episode that mostly is inconsequential, it's like a silly idea of Fry. Just, I don't know, the idea of Fry doing, like really setting his mind to doing something stupid is pretty Futurama. You know, like that's, like, you think of 300 Big Boys when he's like, I'm going to drink 300 cups of coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. These like, these just so like... Like, really, bro? That's your goal? Like, it's like he fries a lot of shit like that.
And I like
it's not even foreign to his character, to be honest.
And I like that they did make a point to have like Leela's like, I don't want to crush his dreams. Hermes, can you crush his dreams? And he's like, don't pawn that girlfriend duty off on me. I like that they made a point to like call them boyfriend, girlfriend. And the episode is, you know, I like that the core of the episode is Leela trying to support Fry even through something that she thinks is pretty stupid, which I think is like kind of pretty emblematic of like a lot of their relationship. Is like, she's always liked Fry. She's always had like a thing for Fry, but she's always thought he's a little childish. And this is like a little bit of growth for Leela, where she's like, I'm just going to support you doing your stupid thing. You know, like I'm going to help you. And I like that. I think that's nice.
So I just kind of wonder like how if this is going to be like how these jokes are going to play, like all the like how can the show get canceled like so many times on so many different networks? Like how is that going to play for someone that has never, that doesn't even know that history,
right?
You know, because it could be fine. Proof is in all the comments we've gotten on the last two episodes of people saying that they were born in 2010 and watched Futurama and had no idea that it was talking about Obama or like the 2012.
Yeah, or what episodes were meant to be finales. Some people didn't know Devil's Hands was supposed to be a finale. But, you know, I also think, I certainly think there will be people who don't don't catch on to that, and maybe the episode will be less funny because of it. But I also think, like, I don't know, I just think about how when I used to watch The Simpsons, how many things they referenced that I didn't know. Oh, yeah. And sure. I feel like I learned about them and like intuitively understood what was happening a lot of the time because of how they reference them. Like, I feel like someone will watch this episode and they'll be able to put the pieces together. Like, once Hermes says it feels like we got rebooted, they'll be like, huh, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because that's what's cool about, like...
And the time jump is part of it, too. Yeah, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's cool about, like, shows like Simpsons and, like Family Guy and shit. Watching, like a movie from the 80s. And going like, wait, what the fuck? Like, that was a reference this whole time? Like, I always thought that was funny, but I didn't know that that's where it came from. I guess the reason I'm thinking about this one so heavy is because, like, it's so, like, the meta references aren't just, like, they're kind of, like, they're almost like a, like, you had to be there kind of thing.
Right.
A little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's why I'm a little curious.
Yeah. They feel similar to those jokes that they put in Rebirth and Bender's Big Score, but those were just cold open jokes. Right, they were just in the beginning and acknowledging it. And this whole, you know, but also like at the same time, yeah, those jokes might not play, but the episode still is also like it's its own narrative about them rebooting all my circuits, you know? And so like that functions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. I'm pretty happy with this episode. Like it's not how I would have gone for the reboot episode. It's not how I would have gone for the first one back. But I think while watching it, the way they acknowledged, oh, we didn't even talk about how they resurrect Calculon and how I was on the money.
Oh yeah, that's one of my notes. You got it for fucking Batum.
I nailed it. And I also just love that they even went back down and showed Robot Hell, and like just as they left off, although there's a little bit of continuity issue there because previously it was like the ghost of Calculon,
he was a ghost.
And now it's his actual body, but like whatever. The details aren't that
it's a funny visual of him coming out of the ground. In order to do that visual, you gotta ignore the ghost thing. Like, you gotta,
and the resurrection canon is a funny idea. And also just like, I'm so glad we got the Robot Devil in there, a Dan Castellaneta cameo in this first episode back. You know, he sounded a little old. We haven't heard Robot Devil sound that old in a while, you know, but he sounds good.
You know, what's so fascinating is that, like, I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to talk about the voices, but, what I think is so fascinating is that when I watched The Simpsons, it's like, I'm like, oh, this, like, Dan has not aged a day. Like, Homer sounds exactly the same as like season 5 or something like that.
He sounds a little different.
You think so? I think he's the one that sounds the same.
He sounds pretty close, I would say. Like
him and,
but I
him
do
and Lisa.
I do find that there are some vocal mannerisms that I feel like he has now that have come with his age. It's not as it's not as prevalent. But I do feel like sometimes he's almost a little more like, you know how he does his voice is kind of like, it's almost a little more exaggerated. And I think that's partially because, you know, he's getting older, his voice is getting raspier, and he has to put it on a little more to make it work. I still think he's doing a great fucking job. But I do hear a little bit in Homer, a little bit.
Right. I think the reason I didn't notice is because, like what you said, he's putting in like effort to go higher.
Totally.
And I'm so used to when VAs get a little older, there's like a little gravel there. And that's what I've noticed isn't present in Homer. Like, okay. Like,
that's true. It's not. You're right. Yeah.
Like hats. Like when we watch every once in a while, we'll watch a new Simpsons with hats. And the first time we did that, he like was like, whoa, the first time Bart spoke.
Right.
And I was like, what's the problem? And it's like, he sounds like a teenager. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, funny. I mean, I guess. That's another one that it's been on so long that they've transitioned slowly. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Whereas mm-hmm. Futurama's now been off the air for 10 years and now we've got all mm-hmm. these characters back, and then right. and the difference is a little more noticeable because of a 10-year jump.
Right.
How do you feel about Fry? You feeling Fry's, you hearing Billy West's age in there?
Yeah. So when we blanket answer, yes. But like when we first watched it, I was like, whoa, like it really took me back. But then when I watched it this morning on my TV, instead of like using my headphones, like it was like way easier.
Yeah.
I think it's like, and with like the professor, I was telling my roommate, it's kind of like how Mr. Burns sounds now, where it's like, I think that like a character like the professor, I think the older you get kind of helps your performance.
Did you see that one clip of Mr. Burns though, right?
Oh yeah, I've seen that episode, dude. It's
I heard that clip was going around from a podcast I listened to, and I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. And then I watched that episode coincidentally, and I was like, this is definitely the clip they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, this has got to be it. That is a weird
it is.
But
he sounds like that in the Death Note parody. He sounds exactly like that,
right.
But I don't think anybody noticed because it was a Death Note parody.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he sounds exactly like that. And I think that, to my knowledge, that's the first time he sounds like that.
Yeah. People just never shut up about Marge's voice in The Simpsons. And I'm just like, just be fine with it. Like, if they want to keep doing the voice, don't like people keep talking on her behalf, like, let her retire, and I'm like, has she said she wants to? Has she said she wants to retire?
Yeah, like they're like poor Marge against her. She's not being held at fucking gunpoint.
She just sounds older, and you are prescribing your own discomfort with someone getting older to them.
Dude,
and
I
you
am
just
so
just
happy
like
I
just be fine
that.
With it. It's fine. Like, it's fine if they sound a little different.
I'm so happy that you said that, because that shit has been annoying me. Like, and but my thing that annoys me about it is when they act like it's like you just can't fucking listen to it. And I don't. Well, she just kind of sounds a little closer to Patty and Selma. Like, what's the big fucking deal?
I know. Like,
I don't.
And
the thing is,
and I still think she gives good performances. It does sound old, and I understand.
It's always funny,
but like, she gives good performances still. Yeah,
yeah. The shit is it's still funny. Like, the show acknowledges the strengths and weaknesses. Like, remember that season opener with where she does the musical? She sings a lot, but instead they'd get Christian Bell to sing for her, and they'd do like this like magical thing, or like you know, like, they don't make her scream as often anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this show is working around what they feel like would sound right. But yeah, I just think it's just like I get it. I get acknowledging it, but like, to the point to where like, you just see post after post of people being like, poor Marge,
poor Marge, poor Julie.
She's fine.
I think she's making millions of dollars a year recording from her house.
She's fucking fine, dude.
She's fine.
I think Zoidberg too, kind of, not a lot, but like he lost a little bit of like height.
I didn't notice in Zoidberg. I have to listen to it. So let's go through the characters. Let's actually talk about
it. Yeah, let's do it.
Fry, I did notice he's a little gravelier, but for the most part, I think he sounds pretty good. Like, I didn't think it was crazy noticeable outside of a few lines. I'm like, it still feels like Fry to me, even if I'm like, oh yeah, he's getting a little older, you know. But I don't know. People are just gonna have to get used to it. It's like, mm-hmm. like, you either
are
want that or you want
it?
New voices. I've gotten a lot of comments about it, and and it's like, no one's like hypercritical, and most everyone's just like, I know it's just because they're getting older or whatever, but but let's talk about Billy West's other characters. Okay, so you said you hear it in Zoidberg a little bit.
Yeah, Zoidberg isn't as, like, I guess, like, there's a little height that's missing.
Right.
Like, he's a little higher. Yeah. But, like, I think Zoidberg is he's still fine. Like, all the like, Billy Wusses, I think, are fine. You just notice it a little bit.
You just notice a little bit. I notice it more with Farnsworth. He's old, but, like, I'm like, oh, he's doing less of an old voice now. Like, you can hear the real old in his voice, you know?
Yeah.
Bender sounds the same. John DiMaggio sounds the same to me. Do you notice any difference?
I'm going to say no. I don't think I noticed a difference. I don't think so.
I'm not noticing.
If there is a difference, it's, like, nitpicky at that point. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
I'm not really noticing a difference in DiMaggio, Lauren Tom, or Katie Seagal. They all sound the same to me. Hermes sound a little older. Phil Mars.
Heard it too? Okay, I thought I was tripping. Yeah. Okay,
nah,
I
did. He sound a little older. It could be Phil getting back into the voice. Because Phil's not that old, you know, but I definitely heard a little bit of age.
Okay. I thought I was tripping. I didn't catch 56.
So he's not that old. But you know, but between 46 and 56, your voice probably changed a little bit, you know?
I didn't notice the robot devil until today. When I heard it today, I was like,
I've watched the episode a bunch of times. I've probably seen it 5 times already. Which is funny because I'm just back on my same bullshit that I was on when I used to watch Futurama. Like, I would watch the episode 4 times the week it came out. Granted, this time I'm doing it for videos. I'm watching it with friends. I'm doing it for the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, I got reasons to be doing it, but it is funny.
Right.
I haven't really watched the rest of them over and over yet. I watched the second one a couple times, but I've still got the other. I'm trying to not overwatch before I have new ones to watch, because I'll still have the last 4 to watch once those start, and I don't want to be like I don't want to like watch them all 6 times in a row the first week I have them, and then be like, okay, I know these like the back of my hand now I have to wait 6 more weeks for another one. I was like, I absorb them once and I'm gonna keep watching them as we go.
I get you. I also think that Maurice LaMarche sounds exactly the same. Which is kind of shocked me a little bit that I didn't notice anything in Calculon.
With Maurice, yeah, he sounds the same. He does so many ancillary voices. Like his scary door guy sounds the same. His Morbo sounds the same. He's really, I mean, he's just a fucking
legend. Morbo does sound the same. And that sounds like a voice that's rough too. So,
dude, for real, they don't pitch it either. He just does it. Like, he just does that voice. It's crazy. They don't pitch shift it at all.
That's everybody.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anyone else. I think that's pretty much all the voices we got to cover, everybody? Right?
Yeah. We didn't hear anybody else yet, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Cool. So how do you feel about it? How do you feel overall?
I thought it was all right. Like, I think like my issues like with the top kind of stopped me from like being like, I really like it. But like the stuff that I like, I do really like.
Yeah.
And there is like a lot of stuff to like about like all that, like making all my circuit shit and everything like that. Like,
sure.
And like Calculon is priceless in it. There's some good professor, like, also, you know, they didn't do a story that utilizes the entirety of the Planet Express crew, but they still found a way to like have them all at least speak, which I thought was, you know, I appreciated that too. But
they got back to their Hermes weed jokes pretty fast.
They did. The THC oil. Let's see how many more of these we got.
One thing we didn't talk about is their reference to their episode order of All My Circuits, which seems to be a direct reference to their own contracts.
Oh, right, right, right.
At least that was my read. And so while doing it, they're like, what do you say? A 20 episode order with an option for 20 more and maybe a movie. And I always anticipated that there would be an option for 20 more. I expect that that's probably what the Comedy Central run was too, where it was like, we'll do a contract and then we'll basically build in the option for the 26 so that that contract is already negotiated if we choose to do it. And I'm assuming that's exactly what they've done here. I'm feeling like it's a foregone conclusion that they will scoop up 20 more. It feels very likely to me. I think the show is like, I think especially with the way Hulu is trying to now really firmly brand itself as the place for adult animation,
this
like Animayhem thing, Animation Mayhem or whatever, which is smart because it is where people fucking like, I didn't really realize this. They have Rick and Morty again somehow. I didn't know that they had it back.
It's always been there.
No, I didn't swear even, to God, it didn't even go I swear anywhere. To God, it was gone when it first, when HBO Max first hit, because HBO Max was Warner and they got all the Adult Swim shit. I could have sworn that Hulu did not have. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
they
I'm
didn't because Hulu didn't lose. There's a lot of shit that like ended up on Max that Hulu like never lost. Like they never lost Steven Universe. They never lost Gumball. Like
yeah,
they never
true.
Lost like
that's
a lot,
true.
A lot
they
of
never
those.
Lost Over the Garden Wall, which now Max is gonna get rid of because they're where,
and now stupid. Now they're now the only ones that got it.
That's right.
The only ones that got this shit now.
Yeah. I think it makes and then especially with King of the Hill coming back next year, that's going to be another part of that.
Yeah,
that's also
dude.
On Hulu. So like it's like Hulu is basically taking over that animation domination thing, but on streaming, you know.
But
it's
I mean,
because like,
it's you know, it's that's that if you like the that's where the modern man watches all of those shows after they
exactly.
air on Sunday anyway.
And
you know
look
what I mean?
At, so. And I'm sure that they have the number. You know, obviously they have the numbers for Futurama. I'm sure that they were looking at those streaming numbers and being like, we could make more of this. And I'm and you know we know that Family Guy is one of the most watched shows ever on Hulu.
The shit on mute right now on my TV.
Right. There
you probably
go.
See it in the reflection.
Oh, I can. Is that a lightsaber?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're doing a Star Wars bit. Yeah, they are.
They've got American Dad. They've got Bob's Burgers. They've got, and then they've got the King of the Hill Library and the Futurama Library, and those are both coming back for new. Like, I would be shocked. I'm sure that King of the Hill has the exact same order where they did 20, which means that they will have next year and the following year with new episodes, which also means like, I don't think they're going to just do 20 episodes of Futurama and then like the next year run out the King of Hill episodes. I'm sure they'll just pick up the back end 20 for Futurama and we'll get four more years of Futurama on Hulu, which is bizarre to think about.
And it's dude, they got all of those, and then remember that new one just came out. I didn't watch it yet, but the Freeform cartoon is up there too.
That's right. Oh, I got to check that out. Oh, and then they also got Solar Opposites, which is their other original, which
and
is
that, yeah,
a popular
theirs,
show.
Yeah.
And that is and it's but it's also 20th Century. It's 20th Century Fox. Like it's like all of these are 20th Century Fox. I don't know. I mean, like quickly, there was a minute where Netflix had so many adult animated shows I love, and I was like, Netflix is my spot. But like right now, I'm all team Hulu, man. I hope they grab Venture Brothers when that shit fucking gets knocked off Max. I don't know, man. They could just really lean into this. And obviously, they don't have The Simpsons anymore, other than they do have new episodes.
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, I'm about to say that. Yeah, they're the go-to for when The Simpsons airs on Sunday.
Honestly, I watch. As much Simpsons, I mean, I watch a lot of classic Simpsons, but I watch the new ones on Hulu. Like, I just I watch them as they go on Hulu. So
yeah, because they don't go to Disney Plus until the next season starts.
But the idea and the concept that they bring up there of the movie, the idea of the movie, is so exciting to me. Obviously, I've been talking about it forever
about how
I want a goddamn movie,
like a movie.
Like a movie.
Yeah.
It's written like a movie.
Right. Exactly.
And I know it would probably just be a streaming movie. I know it would probably just drop on Hulu or whatever. And that's what they do. but I really want a theatrical movie. And honestly, what I would buy out a theater to like air it, to show it with a group of people so that I could experience a goddamn Futurama movie in a theater with a bunch of people who love Futurama. We could do a Cartoons That Curse. You know what? Count on that happening. If there's a Futurama movie, we're going to pay for and do a screening for all of you. It's going to be great. I bet we can get in touch with the Futurama people and make it happen.
Yeah. I think, you know, my thing is like, I want a Futurama movie that's like animated theatrically. You know what I mean? Like how the Simpsons movie has like all of those, like, it's just like a lot of like creative posing, character acting, like shading, like all of that shit. Like,
same.
For it to actually feel like big and spacious and cinematic, right, is like my true dream.
Especially with how beautiful some of the show already looks with the space stuff. Like, exactly. I'm just imagine the level of detail they can do. Mm-hmm. I'm excited by the prospect. It feels like a real, genuine possibility. So we'll see. Do you have? I'm supposed to go to the gym in a few minutes. Do you have anything else about this episode of Futurama? How are you? I know you didn't. I know it wasn't your favorite. I know not everything about it was your favorite. But are you more encouraged or discouraged?
I'll say encouraged, especially since you told me that it's not, they don't do anything else like this later.
They don't. I will say. So, I mean, I was very encouraged because I personally think this is a much better episode than Rebirth.
That's not Rebirth, a hard bar, so but sweaty. Yeah.
Yeah, but also it's the most direct comparison a gap of time between them getting together to write new episodes, and it's the first one back in a revival era. And I think that is a good indicator of where the quality can go, you know?
That's true.
And so I am really encouraged by that. I think this is so much funnier than Rebirth. I think Rebirth has some good stuff in it, but like this, I think this is a funnier episode. Mm-hmm. I still have to rewatch other ones, and I mostly watched the other episodes that I've seen while I was very tired late at night. I do think this is one of the funnier episodes of the season, but almost every other episode does some good. There's some really good heartfelt stuff. I think people are going to be really excited about next week's episode, which we know is called Children of a Lesser Bog. And they do have the description out there on Hulu. If you want to hear it, if you want to read it, I won't say what it is because it's pretty spoilery, but, you know, we've been speculating about it for a while now. So my favorite episode of these six is the sixth one, which is not one that was on my list of expecting it to be my favorite. And they do something at the end that I can't wait for you to see. I can't fucking wait for you to see. Can't wait. Like, I'm really fucking excited. Now we're five weeks away from that, but I really think you're gonna love it. Oh, I'm excited. This is gonna be fun. This is gonna be fun talking about this show week to week. And we'll see, and we'll probably do it next year. I mean, like, are we going to, I guess we'll have to talk about King of the Hill next year too. We'll have to think about whether or not we, we do that.
I'll just let the record be known now. I think I want to. You do? I think I legitimately want to.
Okay. You know, and the other thing is that we've obviously got this new format coming up, and I think there's, because these are so much less labor intensive and it's really just like watch 22 minutes and then record for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. 2 hours out of our week is easy versus before, right, where it was nine to 10 hours out of our week between watching and recording. Mm-hmm. There's a chance we could do these episodic. There's a chance we could do these episodic rundowns when shows air and do what our new format will be at the same time. You know what I mean? We could maybe do two episodes a week. It's possible. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Cool. I'm going to be late for the gym if we don't close this out here in a minute.
Yeah, let's close this, close this shit out, man.
But this is like an hour and a half episode about one episode of TV. So I think
there you go.
You're all getting so much more content. Yeah. You're welcome.
This is longer than some of them Patreon things. And them just be about like movies.
That's true. I do think we'll probably have less to talk about because so much of this was about the reboot itself and how they rebooted it and what our expectations were. But we'll still, but you know, there's still going to be a lot to talk about with these upcoming episodes. I'm excited. I don't know if you'd expect an hour and a half every time. I think they're going to at least be an hour. And we also talked about Barbie for 20 minutes.
Barbie and Mission Impossible.
That's right. Okay, cool. You got anything to plug or talk about before we go?
Monday Monopoly.
Monday Monopoly.
Tentative. It might not be Monopoly because the shit keep crashing. It might be something else next time. But Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, you can find me on my channel doing a stream to raise money to fund my pilot. But yeah, that's what I got.
Hell yeah. I'm covering Futurama every week on my channel. I've already got my first one out. There will be 9 more. And check out the Patreon if you want more episodes. We're gonna get back to it this or next week. We're in the middle of Kung Fu Panda right now. We wanted to spend the last 2 weeks getting the main feed up and running again. And obviously we've put a lot of there's a lot out within a week basically. Y'all are getting 3 episodes. You're welcome. You're basically getting 7.5 hours of podcast in a week to make up for our 7-month absence.
You're fed. You're welcome. It's okay.
Yes. And you're going to get one every week. So, you know, look forward to that. And I think that's all I got. Cool. So with that, I want to thank Carrie Feek for our artwork. I want to thank Jake Neutron for our theme song. I want to thank Michael Yunez for executive producing and editing the podcast and co-hosting our After Dark episodes. He's part of the trio for the Patreon eps. You should check those out. I want to thank Toonrific Tariq for talking about cartoons with me. We're back. We're back. Comma, baby.
Can that be the title of this episode? We're back, and then like put like colon, like a comma, like comma or in like just parentheses.
Spell out comma. Spell out parentheses. Comma, baby.
Like that.
Oh man. And we want to thank all of you for listening to us and for supporting us on Patreon and commenting and being the cartoon homies. We appreciate you. And we appreciate you a lot, but also on top of that, in addition to, thank you very much.
Here it is.